Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
Good morning to everybody out there that's not on vacation, that's still around here or trying to get the hell out of here because it's so smoking hot right now.
It's gross out.
A little thunder and lightning. So I got home yesterday and I go, man, it's so hot. Let me get rid of all the alcohol and all the stuff that I stuck in my body the last couple of days down in the Keys. And it started lightning and it was snapping hard. And I just decided, you know what? I don't feel like dying on my first day back.
Probably wouldn't be a good idea. No.
So, but it is
South Florida summers, man. Hot, steamy, then showers, and hot and steamy again.
I've been down here a long, long time. And I remember coming from California saying, this is the hottest place I've ever been in my life. There's this other thing, Dad, that keeps coming up. They call it humidity. It's a killer. And it's really bad after the rain. So when I was cheering for rain, the guys go, no, we don't want rain. Because when the rain leaves, it gets even hotter. And so you get it. But boy, right now, these temperatures, they start doing that feels like thing. That feels like thing is getting
102. 104.
Oh, man. It is.
Welcome to South Florida if you just got here. Yeah.
So if you're still around here, good morning. And got a lot of stuff to get to here this morning. And we got this free agency. I'm probably about as excited about free agency because of the unknown from top to bottom. And you know how many national guys right now are trying to get stuff from agents and handlers and marketing guys and buddies and family members trying to figure out what, let's just go through the case. Kawhi, KD, Kyrie, Clay, Kimba, all these guys are going to be doing, right? Everybody wants to know, and they've got more speculation and more rumors coming out. Zach, we're just sitting here in good old South Florida. I'm not chasing this around the country, and they can't figure it out right now. And but all the stuff that's been added to it, you and I were just talking about, like the thing with Kawhi now, and is he going? He's going to still talk to the Clippers, and could he maybe go to the Lakers, which I don't think is possible, but maybe. KD, is he mad now at Golden State, and he's out? He just wants to get out because of the medical team, which we'll get into some of that a little bit later on. And then the all of a sudden Kimba's hot. He's got Boston on him and the Mavs on him, and the Mavs would like to. So all this stuff, man, is just
exactly what the NBA wants.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh,
the worst
God.
Thing to happen for the NBA was to Kawhi already came out and said he's staying in Toronto. KD and Clay already came out and said we're re-signing
with
Golden
anything,
State,
bro.
Just
don't
keep it quiet. Let the speculation go all over the place. And it's running rampant because yesterday here on the show, we read a story from the big league that said it's almost a done deal that KD's going to the Nets. And they're going to sign Kyrie. And they're going to bring in any of KD's buddies that want to sign for a small amount of money. KD's going to be on the recruitment trail. And you're reading that going, wait a minute. I read 2 days ago that it's basically a done deal. He's staying in Golden State.
Yeah. Iguodala's come out and said, no, I think he's going to stay here. Who knows? And you know, the
DeAndre Jordan's the guy for the Nets. The Nets think DeAndre Jordan's the guy that if they sign him because he's really good buddies with Kevin Durant, that if they sign Kyrie and sign DeAndre Jordan, that Kevin Durant's a shoe and he's coming to Brooklyn.
Yeah.
Like I'm looking at it going, DeAndre Jordan is going to be the guy that sets free agency, huh? It's amazing. But this is what the NBA wants. You're right.
It's even the second tier of guys that can really help your team. That batch will be fun to watch and see for people trying to pick up shooters and guys. And by the way, if we get through these max contracts Sunday night, Monday morning, Monday afternoon, Tuesday, and then that second tier of guys, I'm dying to see what the money looks like on a lot of those guys as well. So this thing, It couldn't play out any better. It really can't. So just keep bringing out all the rumors of where people are going, and former NBA players, they know somebody, and they're saying this is going to happen and that's going to happen. So that is going to be fun. By the way, Tyler Hero, we've learned one thing over the last few days with him. The 19-year-old first-round pick of the Miami Heat is not lacking confidence at all.
No.
His drip is legit.
Wow, his well done by you.
Is super legit. He's dripping. We're dripping, too. I had to go out and start looking at all these terms, Zach. I don't know if you've ever heard drip before.
I've heard drip before, but I've never dripped before.
Yeah. So the only thing I drip is sweat when I'm out right now.
Oh, if
outside.
That was the case, then I'm the most dripping guy in South Florida.
So when he said, his outfit is drip, and with that colorful outfit he had, I was like, damn, man.
Got that drip.
I got a little drip, too, man. Yeah. If you see me out there standing outside for about 20 minutes, I got my own damn drip right now.
I need 20 minutes. So, 40 seconds.
But anyway, yeah, I got a kick out of that. So I was going to write down all these words, man, that are coming out with that all these new things that these guys keep coming out with. So I actually asked a couple of guys. I said, have you heard drip? They're all laughing, you know. I know they're looking there as a guy's checking out. And an old white guy, and I go, hey, drip, help me out on the drip thing.
Hey, drip.
Because I'm thinking I'm going to drip like a lot of sweat when I walk out of here. And they were like, no, no, no. They were all laughing. Like, yeah, we've all heard that. So that's nothing new. We got all this stuff in New York, too, which, again, if you just like entertainment and you want to get away from X's and O's a little bit, my God, we've had a lot of stuff. Apparently in New York, where you're under a microscope as an athlete anyway. And just start with the Giants, who've looked very dysfunctional. We'll find out how their quarterback works out and everything else that they've done, including getting rid of one of the best young wide receivers in football. But so the Jets come out, and we got the Adam Gase stuff added on there, and Adam the general manager, and Adam the head coach, and Adam this and Adam that, and he's calling all the shots. That's been a strange one, but the Mets.
Hold my beer.
Oh, my gosh. This whole thing has just been about as dysfunctional. I mean, they're asking for everybody's job, and the GM calling the manager during the game, telling them to take guys out, and just you're like, huh? I remember we had Jeffrey Lurie. Remember Jeffrey Lurie used to whisper over to tell his managers what to do? I don't know if anybody remembers that from past years, And some of the managers would say, go sit down and watch the game. Not now. We don't need you to play. I know you own it, and it's your toy.
Well, he wanted to be GM, too.
Yeah, but he wanted to get really involved with things, some of the old stories from some of the old guys that were pretty crazy. So that one has just been nuts, man. It's a great time in New York going through everything from Mickey Callaway and Jason Vargas and blowing up and threatening to beat the crap out of a writer.
Tim
Always
Healy,
a good one.
Old Sun Sentinel guy from down
there
for a while.
And you know what was really, really weird about this whole thing? Like, anytime you go after a writer now and you decide, I'm going to beat the crap out of you, and your manager comes over and starts screaming, and you're not very good because it really has nothing to do with the writer on losing games.
Frustration level.
Yeah. So you can say, you can be frustrated with your team, but you start taking it and you start threatening a writer, you got a big problem. So they came out quickly and tried to put it out. Matter of fact, the manager came out a second time. If I didn't make it clear and I didn't take enough heat for what just happened, I'm sorry. They're saying he's going to be toast.
That's a dumpster fire in that locker room right now.
And then, by the way, maybe my favorite one over the last couple of days, the guy in our industry, Kevin Keatsman, WHB 810 in Kansas City on Andy Reid and talking about discipline, which is legit. They've had I'd say they're one of the three or four teams in football that seem to have guys that have had some problems, and they've gotten rid of a really good running back, not so quick on the Tyreek Hill stuff, and the discipline on and off the field and all this stuff. And, we can talk about your teams that take chances and second chances and third chances on the most guys, and Kansas City probably ranks right there at the top, right, with Dallas and anybody else you want to put in there that is taking chances on guys. But when he decided to go after Andy Reid for his discipline at home with his family and with his team, and you throw family in there, which I think most people are familiar with the fact that his son Garrett had a heroin overdose back in 2012. And he didn't miss a beat, by the way, at that time. After going through it, he kind of kept going, and seemed like Andy Reid didn't take much time off during that difficult time. And his kids were both his sons were having some problems. Matter of fact, his other son's now one of the coaches for Kansas City Chiefs. Andy's won, obviously, a lot of games, but has not won at all. Everybody's familiar with that in Philadelphia.
He's gotten close.
In Kansas City. But by the way, I thought when they hired him at Kansas City, I was like, oh, I don't know. But hell, he's winning, averaging, 10, 11 wins almost a year.
Put together a pretty good team there,
Kansas City. And they've done it. They've been a fun team to watch. Yeah. Really, really fun from the entertainment. And even though they've come up short and New England got him last year. But, yeah, that's very strange. So, Kevin Kiesman, the latest on it here. You got some Kevin Kiesman?
Yeah, go ahead.
I got thumbs up. Give it to me.
And the second thing is, they probably think they can fix him. But they thought they could fix him before, and they failed. Does not have a great record of fixing players. He doesn't. Discipline is not his thing. It did not work out particularly well in his family life. And that needs to be added to this. As we're talking about the Chiefs, he wasn't real great at that either. He's had a lot of things go bad on him. Family and players. He is not good at fixing people. He is not good at discipline. That is not his strength. His strength is designing football plays. To be honest, that is Andy Reid's greatest strength, is designing football offenses and plays. That's his greatest strength. The players like him, sure. He's a leader. He's a leader. I'm not saying he's not a leader. But his greatest strength is designing football plays. And that has gotten him a long way. But that doesn't mean he's qualified to discipline players or help them or change them.
All right, so he mentioned family twice, and it can only be one thing, right? I mean, it being one thing, we're talking about the guy being divorced like 14 times.
No, you're right. But we're talking about two kids of his that both have massive drug problems. And one of the, and death. Like, there's one, it's one thing to bring up a fact that a guy's been divorced four times, and like you said, look in the mirror, dude. At one point, you got to look in the mirror and start blaming yourself.
Well, you can joke a little bit if it's divorce.
Yeah, you can't joke about a kid dying and having a drug overdose. Right. You can't bring that up in comparison.
Well, he didn't say, his whole point was that he didn't come out
detail-wise, yes.
But it can only mean one thing when you say family. What are you talking about? He's only had one thing in his family that's been bad, and both his sons have had drug problems that have led to other problems around it because of drugs. And then, of course, you have an overdose of heroin and you die. Probably not good to throw that in with,
the handling of discipline of Tyreek Hill or Kareem Hunt.
You get on that. That's legit.
No, that's fine. But you also remember that it's not like these things happen in the locker room where you just didn't have control over these guys. This is stuff off the field, too, that you don't have control over.
That's true.
The Dolphins don't have control over, someone who does something stupid outside or drives drunk or does something like that. You just don't have control over that, or hits his pregnant girlfriend. Like, Andy Reid wasn't there and said, hey, maybe you should calm down a little. So I understand that. But then he comes out with the apology, too, because he didn't realize what he said was going to catch flames like this. Well, he's stupid then.
Well, that's dumb.
That's
the part.
That's it.
You want to go in, you could debate back and forth on the players. And they had problems before they got to your team.
That's fine.
And they keep popping up. But you can't. I agree. We can't start getting into
the personal life of
family
a coach
stuff,
and the background. Yeah. I mean, listen, when Joe Philbin came down here, he had a tragedy right before he came here. Like, we're talking a month. Did anyone say, oh, well, he can't coach because, look, he can't even handle his own kid? If somebody came out and said that, we would have fireballed that guy.
We got on good old Joe for a lot of things.
But not the personal stuff behind the scenes.
He did the same thing. He didn't mourn much. He jumped right into a new job, did his interview, ends up getting the job and moving on.
That's it.
Anyway, we got the apology. Like, give me a little apology here. Let me hear what a good apology sounds like.
I want to begin by sincerely apologizing to Coach Andy Reid and his entire family for my comments yesterday. What I said has been interpreted by many as hurtful, insensitive, and cold. And in hearing from listeners and re-listening to what I said, I can understand why. Mm. I can barely find the words to even say out loud what some people believed I was trying to convey. I never mentioned and would never, ever suggest that Coach Reid was at fault for his son's tragic death, or that any parent would be at fault for such an unspeakable tragedy. As a father myself, I cannot imagine the pain of burying a child. Please know that this was not my intention, was not even on my mind when I made the comments that I did.
Well, that's a lie.
And if Coach Reed or any listener interpreted it that way, I again apologize. My beliefs on the team's personnel history are absolutely trivial when compared to actually hurting somebody with my poorly chosen words. I am deeply sorry that I offended so many people, but mostly I'm sorry if I hurt Coach Reed, a man I respect greatly. He deserves better than to have something like this happen that brings up terrible memories. I've spent a great deal of time and resources over the past several years working with organizations trying to curb the epidemic of teen suicide. I personally know several parents that have lost a child to suicide or heartbreaking accidents. Losing a child will always be my worst nightmare, and I feel truly blessed every day that one of my own children survived a horrible car accident. The absolute worst thing I could ever say on the air would be to blame a fellow parent for a tragedy they could not possibly prevent. People who know me know this, and they know my heart. For those that do not, I can't change what you think of me today, but I can again say that I'm sorry for my comments and pledge to be more considerate when choosing my words going forward. This is on me, and I'm paid as a broadcaster to be concise in what I say. My words on Monday's show left open way too many interpretations, and I'm the only person responsible for that, and the only person to blame. I'll learn from this mistake, and I'll work hard to do better, and I hope to one day regain the trust of Coach Reed and the Chiefs organization. I tried to contact Coach Reed early this morning to speak with him father to father and personally apologize for any pain I may have caused him or his family. I'm told he's unavailable today, and I understand. I hope he will accept my apology, but I understand if I'm not completely forgiven. I hope to be back soon, and I thank my friends, family, listeners, sponsors, co-workers, and partners that have reached out to support me today.
All right.
It's a nice PR written.
Well, he got a nice little suspension.
And he should have.
I think it had a little indefinite suspension, if I'm not mistaken.
Probably should have.
So, yeah, but I don't know. Like, so you go through it, and we've all had, you know, our moments of things that after you go back and you go, oh, God, I can't believe I said that. Or in my case, like I said it, damn, that was pretty stupid. I didn't realize how this was going to blow up. That's happened. But boy, this one, you throw in family,
it's just dumb.
You said you can't control your own family, and people are looking going, well, that's only one thing. So just bad time. Hey, we're super late here, but what a damn way to start in the summer, man. It's hot, which means we're a little off too. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back in just a moment. Hey, welcome back. Good morning to everybody that's not on vacation yet, but getting ready for that 4th of July weekend. And in our business, for some reason, it's always been this way. Most of us, especially if your life's a little bit around football than the rest of them, you take it in July.
Yeah, July is the month here that Hollywood's not looking forward to when it comes to scheduling.
Yeah, that's one.
From what I was told the other day,
it's hard to find guys throughout that want to.
Lots of the hosts are taking time
off. How's that work, man? You work off priority, Hollywood. How do you do that? Guys have been around the longest. How do we go about that? Guys that get the time they want, or do we give it to everybody? Lynn's a nice guy.
Yeah, it looks like we give it to everyone, Joe.
Yep. I can't wait to see what some of the hosting looks like this month.
It looks like, hey, it's going to be a great opportunity for somebody in July, right? No question about it.
Make a couple extra bucks. Omar was talking about it yesterday. He goes, I look forward to July because it's right before training camp opens for him because the dates came out yesterday for the NFL training camps. And he goes, yeah, before that happens, I'm kind of off. But I know most of the guys here are off, too. So I'm looking forward to getting the phone call from
Dan.
That's
right. Come on, honey.
Well, Ira will fill in as long as the sun's up.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't wake up in the mornings.
Only for callers.
You'll have him. You'll have some Dave Hyde action.
Ira's never been a big morning guy. And we have found out through the years that guys do a couple of morning shows. They're usually wiped out in the afternoon.
Yeah. Beginning yesterday, Omar, I asked him in the first segment because it looked like he was still sleeping. Yeah. I said, you awake? You good? He goes, man, day two is tough.
Yeah. No.
You go 2 days.
Takes a little while to get used to this. And especially the first part of where you try to stay up late for a few days. And you're struggling, and everybody around you is giving you a hard time because you want to go to bed at 10, and they're going, you can't. I mean, the music's going till 11, man. Anyway, by the way, I went down and did the charity event for Doctors Hospital. It was just Nelson, those guys, though, just a hell of a party. So it was a lot of fun down there. And
you got ripped a little bit on the text machine yesterday because you took off your birthday. Remember, we were ripped Omar for taking his birthday off.
Oh.
You got a little ripped because it was your birthday.
Two days ago. Yeah. I did. I figured I was going to kill some days, so I just decided to
stay. Well, it was smart. You were in the right place to do it.
Stay down there and changed hotels and stayed down for a couple of days and got a little liquored up. Yeah,
good for you.
No question. Spent a little time down there. And I went by Ziggy Mad Dogs.
Best part of your story so far.
Went down there and had a little dinner. It was great. A lot of same guys still working there.
Yeah.
A lot of the same guys after all these years. And, of course, the Mandy's family has sold the restaurant. But great food. I really enjoyed it. It was packed on a Monday night. So it was good. So listen,
when you see one of these high-end places, restaurants, you see a lot of the same people there over the years. Like, a lot of the guys don't switch off because they get used to it, or there's pretty good tip money in there or whatever it is. But you see a lot of the same people for a long time. Not everybody, but there'll be familiar faces in there a decade later.
Yeah. Well, they
and they were there at Ziggy Mad Dogs.
They were packed, man. They were packed. And as I was leaving, they were more packed. So, yeah, they look like all the son of a sailors are all going down there. All the Jimmy Buffett's gang are cruising around there. Hey, so yesterday, I always love this, and I don't know if anybody caught any of the Marlins game yesterday. So, once again, this young pitching staff overall has been really good. Not a great outing yesterday, but the young pitchers, I believe now, the best story of the team, the ERA for starting pitching is like fifth in baseball. It's been, and we talk about it, you know, a lot of five innings and six innings, giving up one run, two runs, zero runs, whatever it is. So the ERA of this young pitching staff's been a really nice story in what has been a really overall crummy year. I think everybody knows that. So anyway, they go against Scherzer yesterday. Max Scherzer, one of the best, arguably the best pitcher in baseball over the last few years.
Even with a broken nose.
Yeah, whatever. Even with that broken nose and those two little black eyes that he still looks like he has out there. So yesterday, Miguel Rojas gets called out on a strike. It's hard enough to hit the guy. He had 10 strikeouts in the game. And then Mattingly comes out, and he's mad, saying the strike zone that we're getting against all these veteran guys is BS. Our young guys don't get the benefit of any close calls. And we go against Scherzer, and we go against Adam Wainwright, and we go against all these other veteran guys that have been around and had great success and really good careers. They get every call. So I was like, yeah, that's – I mean, I know Don Mattingly knows this, but yeah. Hey, Don, I hate to break it to you, but it's kind of the same in basketball. The veteran guys are really good, get the benefit of the doubt on a lot of calls, going to the basket where the young guys don't. That kind of comes with reputation, man, and success. So, yeah, I do believe that Scherzer's going to get a lot more calls in the outside part of the strike zone. Yeah, whether it's
anyone
outside
on this Marlins team, right?
Yeah, because they just got, you know, they got a bunch of young guys. Some of them a little outside, and when they struggle, you know, they're not going to get the same calls. And people are going, well, why is it like that? It shouldn't be. Everybody should get the same calls, whether you're a rookie or you're 7 or 8 years in the game or 9 years or 10 years and you're the best at what you do. Like, no.
Doesn't work like that.
Goes on everywhere,
that's
man.
Right.
Goes on everywhere in every sport where you see the number you've had and the reputation, and everybody knows, oh, that's not just another number 84. That's such and such. He's really friggin' good. They're going to get the benefit of the doubt. Not every call, but you're going to get a lot. And so, baseball, that's been around for a long time. And it took me back. So I was with Al Leiter one night. And Al's one of those guys used to bitch and never got the benefit of the doubt because he had a reputation of being, at times, wild. So we were out one night. And we ran into Cowboy Joe, who was out drinking a little bit. And it was the weirdest thing. So, you know, they were kind of taking jabs at each other. It was weird. We ran into, I don't know how we ended up out west having a few beers. I don't know what the hell I was doing with Al that night anywhere a day. So anyway, we were out, and And we ran into Joe West, and he said something about him being wild, like if you weren't so, you know, and he said kind of about that. And, you know, of course, I didn't think it was very funny, and they were kind of, you know, end up, we're in the same place, but we didn't sit together. But, yeah, so it's just, I mean, anybody's up and will go, Scherzer's going to get the benefit of the doubt on tight calls on a full count or a 2-2 count that these young pitchers for the Marlins, none of them are going to get. That's just the way it is.
That's what we've seen in sports for a long time.
Yeah, so I would just say, you know, and Miguel Rojas was mad saying Scherzer's getting that expanded strike zone and all that stuff. And, like, my God, we go through this in every sport where certain guys get calls. Basketball's terrible with it. I can't tell you how many times I've listened about Kobe and LeBron getting calls.
The Jordan rules.
Michael Jordan got the benefit of the doubt because it was good for business when MJ was lighting everybody up and you don't have to help him. He's already good. And this goes back to he's already good. He doesn't need the expanded strike zone. So, yeah, but Mattingly was decided to go out and get his money's worth last night, too. Talking about it and then brought up, we saw the same thing with Adam Wainwright. It's enough's enough. And I'm like, hey, Don, you're on some pretty good Yankee teams. You've probably been around long enough to know. And you don't think Mattingly gets the benefit of the doubt as a really good veteran hitter, a 300 hitter. He didn't get the benefit of the doubt like Bonds and all the other great hitters did the other way on tight calls like, oh, these guys didn't swing. Probably a ball. I got to give him the benefit of the doubt.
That's it. Anyway, this is the first time we've seen something like this.
But last night, a little frustration, but probably more that Scherzer, after a slow start, has been really, really good so far.
How about Scherzer's quote? Did you see his quote after the game? The announced crowd of 7,327 for the rematch for him here at Marlins Park. And his quote was, you got to come down here, and you might not have fans in the stands. There's no atmosphere here, but you got to mentally bring it every single time.
I agree, because earlier in the year he got small crowded, and I don't know, and the team has been real careful not to say anything why they're playing better on the road than they are at home. We got a terrible home record. I just wonder what it's like to play in front of a AA crowd when you go out, maybe AAA crowd.
Well, Glenn Geffner came out and went on a Twitter rant the other day about how it's time to show up at the stadium now. Look how good they play in front of 40,000 people. It's better than playing in front of 6,000 or 7,000 here at the stadium.
Man, I don't know. They can't get off the sixes and sevens no matter, again, one of the best pitchers in baseball last night.
73-27. That was the announced crowd.
Sounds like they picked up about 700 or 800 fans that said, I got to go see Scherzer, right?
That's not good when you're only picking up 700 or 800 fans.
I don't know what the answer is. It's got to affect these guys. They come out and they're going, oh. We get this in batting practice. Look what they're getting for the – we're getting ready.
That's the entire game.
Going into the first inning, and you're looking around going, oh, this place is empty. I honestly – got into a little bit with a bunch of sports fans over the weekend at this charity golf fishing tournament, and we're talking about it. Outside of having about 50, 55 wins and having one of the two or three best records in baseball, is that going to be enough to ever get this thing? Are we ever going to average into the 20s again, which would draw you 1.6? You know, it'd still be under 2 million fans, which is not considered good. I just wonder if we'll ever, talking about triple plus of what you're getting now, can you do it? We got a lot of people love baseball. We got...
Just not like going.
We got a huge population of Venezuelans, more than we've ever had. We got a nice population of Dominicans, huge population of Cubans, Puerto Ricans. I just named four places that love their baseball.
Baseball's huge.
So I don't know. Man, it does make you wonder, no matter what. But, again, you go back to the record. They're 17 games below .500.
Well, look,
that still hasn't changed.
Look at the team up a little bit north that has a pretty good record and a pretty good team that's not going to be splitting time possibly in Canada.
Yeah, but that's...
You know what I mean? Like,
that's got to be the dumbest thing
ever.
The commissioner signed
ever.
Off.
Ever?
Really.
How could you do that?
The commissioner of baseball and his office signing off on them looking to split.
Yep.
Like, what do you think the few Tampa Bay fans you have think about that?
You mean when they go to buy season tickets and they're offered 41 games or 40 games and that's it?
It's just...
for season tickets?
I was shocked. I honestly was, this has got to be one of the dumbest things. Why not do it privately and set up a few games like they did a few years back, where
Buffalo,
you go to
and Toronto,
Puerto
right?
Rico.
But
or,
even with the Bills, when they did a couple games in Toronto when they thought they might move that team just to kind of do it. They've done it in other sports. This is different,
yeah,
Joe.
This is just crazy. I didn't get it. And again, you know, I understand they want it. They're trying to get things going, try a little power move on getting a first of all, before you can get fans back, they want to get a better facility, which I understand. The Marlins did. They've got a beautiful park, and nobody friggin' goes. Partially because of the product. I don't know what the other part is. I'd be lying. Because you know what? When it's raining and storming, there ain't no rain delays anymore.
No, no.
And you don't have to worry about it being 108 degrees out.
Not with that AC on.
No, they got it rolling. Yeah. We got to go to break. We got to roll and stay with us. We'll be back in just a moment. Hey, welcome back here on a, it's Wednesday. I almost said Monday morning. I felt like yesterday.
It's a good Monday for you.
I got to tell you, these short weeks I could get used to,
right,
man. I could get used to
you
these.
You and Hollywood coming in on a Monday/Wednesday morning.
Yeah, yeah. Would. I'm not sure what he did for a couple of days, but.
I'll tell you what Biff did the last couple of days.
Biff's
sat in the
producing.
Back solo bolo.
Yeah. He's moving up the
That's
ladder.
Right. Solo bolo
he's,
in the back.
He's looking to jump full-time with that field goal position look he's got back there. Hey, we got all kinds of stuff. Got Chad Ochocinco, former Bengals wide receiver. Does he go by Chad Ochocinco or Chad Johnson or both? Because I see every time it's both names together.
I think that on Twitter it's still Ochocinco. It's Chad Johnson, but I believe that Ochocinco probably likes
now owns
Ochocinco
two names.
Better. Yeah,
yeah, he owns two names. By the way, he's involved. I don't know how this thing's going to do, but he's involved with the fastest. Remember a couple, what was it? It's been a month or two since Ted Ginn Jr.
Right.
said, hey, I'm faster than anybody, and nobody
can
beat me.
He said $10,000. He said he's going to put $10,000. Yeah.
Well, I guess we got a little more than that because it looks like the winner's going to get over $1 million. This weekend, this Saturday at BB&T, they're bringing in Ted Ginn, actually, and some other guys that will run for a large amount of money. I was just thinking about, because there are going to be some former guys there, too, that are going to run. You obviously don't want to embarrass yourself running unless you got a chance to win, I would think. It's on pay-per-view, plus you can go to it. So anyway, we'll talk to Chad about all that stuff coming up. Matt Hayes, college football writer for Bleacher Report, who's already out there working. We got college football right around the corner, and I'm sure you've been talking about the camps that University of Miami had and trying to knock out, get themselves a couple of top guys here, and got some nice commitments and hoping to get some more, but at least have set themselves up with their Paradise camp that they just had with all those guys that were there, Jeremy Shockey and all the rest of them that you might have seen if you saw. Michael Irvin was there as always one of the great speakers that you can have. But I get a kick out of this thing. So we got this thing going on. Football is big business, and it's dirty business. It just is. There's no way, like basketball, you're ever going to clean it up 100%. It's just, now, basketball's got a whole different problem because when you're really good, the shoe companies get involved and they try to jump into it, and then the shoe companies that are connected to colleges. And so that's going to be an ongoing problem that's probably never going to go away, right? For all the tournaments.
Too much money.
And guys got to wear one of those shoes, and you hope they fall in love with your shoe brand. And someday if you're really, really good, like Zion or another one of these guys, that they're hoping to get you for the big one where you can make them a lot of money and they can make you a lot of money too. But this football thing, and I don't want to make a big deal about it, but it is the Wild West with – we got guys, including – and I got nothing against the guy, the kid. I don't know him. I saw him play. I actually stood next to Manny Diaz last year and watched him American Heritage Plantation five-star safety, who, by the way, is no longer at American Heritage Plantation. He is now at Western High School. And before those two high schools, he was at Pace High School. He's only going to be a junior. So he's three high schools.
In 3 years. Now, you don't think there's a problem when that comes out?
I think there is a problem. Now, God bless anybody gets him because he's really, really good football player. He's a five-star safety. He left Pat school, Patrick Surtain, and that whole NFL coaching staff, guys that have played. Nobody's got more NFL guys on their staff. No one.
No, now that St. Thomas lost Sam and guys like that to the NFL.
Yeah. I mean, St. Thomas got a few. Yeah. I mean, there are a few schools that have some.
The Heritage has almost the whole staff, the whole guys.
I think they're teaching every class there is over there possible.
Imagine going in, there's the Aronde Gadsden's a teacher here or Pat's a teacher here.
Right. Exactly. They got them everywhere. But so he's now at Western High School. Western got a great head coach. I think he's one of the best head coaches in the business. I really do. What Western's been able to do over the last couple of years, and not to bore people with who's good and who's not right now, but like three high schools in 3 years, like it's just a bad look. And I know we got handlers now. I don't want to call them street agents. That's a little strong. I'm going to give them all the benefit of the doubt that they're mentors or guys that are involved with these, you know.
We dealt with street agents a while back, remember?
I do. I mean, when they wanted to kick our ass down on 70.
They offered us to come down
to 79th Street.
Wherever
it was. It was between 71st and 79th, but I knew it wasn't a good place for us to go unless we wanted to get our ass kicked.
Correct. And they invited us to come there. Zach, you should bring Joe and come down here. We want to meet with you.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. I'm sure you just want to talk. Yeah. Street agents
from
Tennessee.
Mark us up a little bit so we get a different tune
here.
That
was the Tennessee story, wasn't it? That's what it was. Yeah.
But this thing. I mean, this is even before you get to the college stuff, and wherever James Williams ends up going, he's going to give somebody a really good football player. But it is a really, really bad look for James and any mentor with him that you're going to three high schools. So you keep going to different high schools. I'm guessing your take is, well, the coaching's not good enough. They're not using my guy in the right kind of defensive system. And I'm thinking, a lot of NFL guys on that defensive system, including a couple of guys who are five-star corners that are both starting, one at Georgia and one at Alabama, it's worked out for. So I didn't quite understand it. But by the way, I mean, then I heard a story. We got a guy already that's been to five high schools in 4 years.
Now, come on, that's just ridiculous.
But like, man, it's literally the coach got to be careful how he talks to you.
Because you can just pick up and leave.
Like, hey, man, this ain't working out. Now, there's different times you can leave without losing eligibility. But I just wonder if anybody thinks this system's not right. I don't like the coach. My team's not as good as I thought it was going to be during spring. I want to go here. I like what this guy has to say. I'm going there. I don't think anybody in high school can tell me that it's good to go to three high schools in 3 years. And it's like being married three or four times and always blaming the woman. At some point, I got to look in the mirror
and
go, this might be on you, Joe, a little bit.
Yeah.
So
Couldn't they cap it, Joe? I mean, I understand when we talked about it right when it was starting that it's basically open season. I remember having Blue on, and he even said, I'm not really sure how this is going to go. And obviously, with two examples you just gave, it's going in the wrong direction. How about cap it? You want to switch? You get one chance to switch and stop it there. Not three in 3 years or five and four.
I just wonder, like, For the high schools that have either lost a guy or picked a guy up that's going to help you, like James Williams is going to help. Now, all of a sudden, the other safety they have is going to UM already committed. They got James Williams, who had originally committed. Now he decommitted. Now he's not sure where he's going. But he's going to get recruited by everybody. Everybody.
How many stars
helicopter
you say that guy
man,
has?
He's five.
Okay.
And with five stars brings everybody in the business. So. Yep. So now Western all of a sudden got the best combination of safeties in the country.
Western High, huh?
Now, this is
unbelievable.
It's not a shot at Western because, again, he's a really, really good coach. I've watched that show up close for about six, seven times now. He's really good. But the thing that gets me is, can anybody on either side of this thing think that this isn't great and just keep going to a different school, like at some point, don't really good players just stay where they are and go, hey, think? I made a commitment. I like you went to Pace. Okay, Pace didn't work out. So you jump up to American Heritage, which, by the way, is down to date. Now you jump up like
to Plantation.
Well, everybody's jumping everywhere right now. I just wonder for all the schools out there, all the big schools, I would love to know if somebody can tell me, hey, you got a right to do whatever you want, man, screw you, Joe. I want to go to a different high school. I want a different flavor every year. I'm that good, screw you. Or does somebody go, you know, it's probably not a great look that you're going to three or four. This kid's 3 for 3.
Yeah, it's kind of ridiculous. I don't care if you're a 5-star or not.
Pace, American Heritage, and now to Western.
Yeah. One switch, one transfer. Cap it. That's still different than it was.
Is this the way the state, when they jumped into it,
thought it would be? No way. Come on.
We
3-3, 5-4.
We said this the day we had Manny Diaz, the politician, on, who was behind this. Not Manny Diaz. There are a whole bunch of Manny Diaz, by the way.
You got to specifically say who it is, yes.
But it's like, come on, man. Can anybody think this is really good?
I think the idea of letting a kid transfer is one thing and giving them that choice and that one time kind of
choice to do it.
But like 3-3 years, Joe, 5-4, we're taking this to a whole new level.
Zach, he's going to 7-on-7s and they're going, hey, dude, you're really good.
Come play here with us. Yes.
I mean, they all recruit each other.
Of course.
All the kids say, hey, come play with us. Dude, we got a good team. Let's do this. But this jumping back and forth, I don't know, man. Like, and I don't just blame a 15, 16-year-old kid, right?
There's someone behind it.
There's someone giving advice. You got to have some grown-up that's got to say, hey, this probably not the best look. It's not going to stop the schools from recruiting you no matter where you are.
Yeah.
All right, they're just playing a different school. Let's go work them a little bit. Anyway, we got 7 o'clock hour coming up. We get a lot more stuff. Chad Ochocinco is going to join us at 8 o'clock this morning. We'll talk to him about a lot of different things. Speaking of football season, right around the corner, so is NBA free agency. Gosh, this is going to be a lot of fun to see what happens. NBA is playing it out perfectly, man. I don't know if the commissioner sent out a little rule there like, hey, guys, let's not give them anything because right now we got them all messed up. We just keep spreading rumors and speculation on where guys are going to go.
You know what it feels like when the recruiting trail comes on and a kid comes in from high school and puts out, here's my final eight? That's what I feel like is going on in the NBA right now.
Maybe you're right. Yeah.
That's
it. Here's my final four for the NBA.
Here's my final four, yeah.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.